brother. Good song there. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 13 today. Proverbs chapter number 13. Amen. One of the things the old timers, Puritans, writers of books that speak to the soul, speak to the issues. One of the things those people did was they believed in a life that was fraught with frailty and problems, and they needed God every step of the way. They needed the help of God every day, like we sang to start with. They also believed in a God that would help them when it come time to bear their burden, whether it be to cross or to bear old age, by the way. A lot of them, years ago, and some of us know this just from our own past. Years ago, men might be 60 years old and look like an 80 or 90 year old would today, because they were weather beaten. They'd worked hard. I mean, really worked hard. And they had worked themselves into an early grave in many cases. They were. Maybe they weren't, they didn't eat all the good healthy foods like Burger King, McDonald's, and things like that. But seriously, they might not have had they had things that we don't have, but they didn't have a lot of things that we do have that are healthy. And maybe it didn't have a full meal every time they sat down at the table. Might have been all they had was cornbread and milk. Amen. That is good in its way. It is good when it ain't what you have to have. You got other choices, but you want that. Amen. That's when it's good. But anyway, where I was going with that thing is they lived a hard life, and yet they looked for a sweet heaven. They looked for a sweet by and by. Amen. I don't know why I got all that on my mind, but that's on my heart, boy. We ought to look for a sweet by and by. Amen. This life is a life of trouble. Amen. This life is a life a lot of bad things that we could say about this life. But I'm glad this life will soon be over. Amen. All storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory, safe at last. Back to that song again. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 13. Looking at this next part here. And I hope, let's see, I've got the wrong notes with me tonight. Hang on here. See if I've got... I did it sure as the world. I brought the wrong notes with me tonight for my sermon. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start up in verse number 10. And, no, this is not wrong. This is right, isn't it? Is this right? This is where we got to. Yeah, all right. I'm getting myself confused. I've been studying and trying to get a little bit ahead on some of this. And, I broke that step in Romans, I broke it down in 3 points. Well, that's what I did with the book of Proverbs this time. If you remember, we looked at chapter 11 and chapter 12 just in 2 sentences each. And I said chapter number 13, there's 25 verses. So I looked at the first 9 verses. Tonight we'll look at the next 8. And then after that we'll look at the final 8 of that as well. All right. So Proverbs chapter number 13 and verse number 10 is where we'll start reading. And I like to do it like we did this morning. We'll do that responsive reading. I'll read the first, and then you read the next, and then the third. I'll read the fourth, you read, and we'll keep going down that line. So we're in verse number 10, and the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter number 13, verse number 10, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." I'll stop there. I should have stopped at verse 17, but I got myself confused again. All right? We're going to pray. If you will, pray God to help me get past this confusion. Sometimes I do that, and I don't know if it's diabetes that does it or if it's just the fact that I'm easily confused sometimes. Amen. But anyway, pray for me on that if you will. Brother Mark, would you lead us the Lord in prayer? Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord, help. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. That's a blessing. Amen. Well, these Proverbs are like the ones that we've been looking at now from chapter 10 on. They're dealing with a lot of contrasts. But I have divided this into a smaller number. I mentioned that one of the reasons I did that is so that rather than just running across it, we can look at them and maybe contemplate some of these verses a little bit more. I could chop it way down and take years. I've seen people take years maybe to get a leper dipped in the Jordan seven times or or an axe head to float. But anyway, no, but we could take a lot longer than we are. And I don't want to, really to bog down too much. But I do want to look at these verses verse by verse and think about them. Verse number 10 is a very famous verse and one that I believe we can see, again, it's practical. One of the reasons I like the book of Proverbs is because it's not just all up here in the clouds. It's not all spiritualized, although there is spiritualization, but there is practical shoe leather preaching and teaching. Amen. Look at verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Did you know people wouldn't get on our nerves so much if we wasn't a little proud? Right? If we had a little bit more humility, amen, people wouldn't necessarily get on our nerves. Have you ever seen people that are proud? They get upset at everything. Yeah. Fell in front of them. Don't move quick enough when the light turns green. And they're tore out of the frame. You know why? Because their business is important. Your business might not be important. You can set this light if you want to. My business is important. That's a little bit of pride. Amen. And sometimes they're so short-fused, and I say they. I guess I should say we. Because I'm talking about me and my wife. No, I'm kidding. Sometimes we're so short-fused that we don't just blow up in our mind. We lay down on the horn. Let them know, hey, buddy, I saw you took too long at that light. I saw that your business wasn't as important as mine, and I want the whole street down, at least this whole block down this street to know that I'm important. Amen. Well, that's what this verse is dealing with. The fact that pride fuels contention. Somebody said if you see a fire going, you ought to look for a water bucket, not a gas can. Sometimes in homes, and we get in a little bit of a contentious thing, and our pride causes us to look for the gas can. Isn't that right? I'll show them, buddy. I know I ain't going to get a whole lot of amens on this because y'all want to go home with each other. And I'm glad you do. But it's true. Sometimes we cause a lot of our own troubles. We blaze up the fire our own self, and a lot of it is because of pride. Now think with me, if you will, for just a moment on how much trouble has been brought into the world by quarrels and disputes among friends, sometimes among families, among relationships, even among churches, just because somebody wanted to have their way and got upset that they didn't have their way. Whole communities have been divided because of the contentions that cometh by pride. Amen. Sad to say, but homes have been broken up. Lives have been destroyed. Spirits have been crushed. Hopes have been dashed. Dreams have been shattered because somebody wanted to have their way. Somebody can't get along with somebody else because of pride. Maybe one or both of them are too proud to suffer wrong. Amen. I'm not talking about letting people just run over you, but at the same time, I'm talking about not getting lifted up in this pride. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Maybe you think about these arguments. Maybe the argument didn't begin because of pride. Maybe the division didn't begin because of pride. Maybe it began by just a pure, entirely proper statement that was taken the wrong way, or a proper action that was taken the wrong way. But the continuance of the disturbance and the divide is because of pride. Because somebody won't admit to wrong. Amen. It's tainted by pride. Usually it's true that proud people are touchy people. They're jealous people. Amen. They can't brook the slightest semblance of disrespect or word or deed. I mean, you just didn't look at me right. You didn't say that right. Amen. Pride causes resentment, revenge, envy, and ambition that often brings conflict with others. Amen. Causes us to disagree with others, or if you see somebody you disagree with, sometimes pride will cause you to want to run over them. Sometimes they seem to be in your way, obstructing or delaying what we see as our rightly deserved position. Amen. Now I'll say this. I don't like to see people cut line. Amen. If you're in a store and you're waiting in line, I don't like to see people think, well, I deserve to go before other people. I'm more important than they are. And some people have that. Some people have that mentality because I'm the color I am, I ought to get preferential treatment. Or because I'm of the sexual orientation that I am, I ought to get preferential treatment. Yeah. Or whatever the case is, I'm of the economic status that I am, I ought to get preferential treatment. I don't like that. But sometimes you're in line and sometimes you get cut off, or you get somebody jumps in front of you purely by accident. I've seen it happen more than one time. They didn't realize, maybe they didn't know where the line started or whatever. And listen, you don't have to make a scene. You don't have to get all bent out of shape. Amen. And get the security guard involved and the security cameras. Get the cameras out. Prove it. I was here before they was. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I mean, pride can cause a lot of contention. Amen. That's what he's talking about here. Well, can I just say this, and I'm going to deal with this verse a little bit more than I do maybe some of the others. But did you know that disagreements happen? They happen. It happened to all of us. They don't have to happen every day, but sometimes just about every day a disagreement can happen. And if we're going to get past that disagreement, and by the way, this works real good in marriage. And by the way, I'll back up and say this. This is one reason why larger families, when they had larger families in the past, people learn to deal with that because they get on each other's nerves. And they have to learn to get along because all 20 of them lived in a four-room house. Amen. Had to learn to live with one another. And they got over it. But now we got the big, boy, I got my room, I got my space, and I got my things, and nobody better not mess with me. And they don't learn to get along with other people. And that bleeds into marriage sometimes. But I say this, when disagreements happen, in order for peace and reconciliation to come about, who's going to yield? Somebody's going to have to. Sometimes both have to yield, but there may be the question, who's going to yield most? Who's going to give in? Here's what the Bible tells us we ought to do. We ought to be making for peace. Amen. We ought to be making for peace. In other words, we ought to be working that God might help us to be peacemakers. The adjustment might not be easy, but it will be easier if not for pride. Amen. Pride makes it more difficult to respond correctly. Pride makes it more difficult to reply correctly. Sometimes we can justify, well, I have my honor to retain. One girl said she was always looking for Mr. Right, and she found him, realized his first name was Always, Mr. Always Right. And he's got to be always right. Heard one man said, I always get in the last word in an argument. Sometimes it's yes, ma'am. But the truth is, somebody has to give. Somebody has to yield, and it's going to have to be one that lays down his pride. And we all got to be honest. We all got to admit that our fallen nature and our deceitful hearts makes it easier for us to excuse the pride. Yep. Amen. Excuse our pride. Well, we know, listen to this, we know that we ought not allow these things to make us so angry. And yet we do. We know better. We know better. You know what causes that? It's pride. Pride causes us to get angry. Pride causes us to stay angry. Well, they hurt my feelings, and I want them to know they hurt my feelings. I want them to know tomorrow. I want them to know next week. I want them to know next year when I don't send them a Christmas card because they hurt my feelings. Amen. And there's pride that causes the anger and pride that causes us to stay angry. Now, I'll say this. There is such a thing as decent self-respect, honor, and dignity. We do need that. Amen. But there's also on the other side of the coin, and this is what the Bible addresses more than any because this is where most people are, there's the indecency of an inflated ego. We was talking about that some in the prayer room that wasn't realizing that that was in my thoughts tonight. But in this indecency of an inflated sense of honor and a dignity that results from pride. We got to guard against this vanity. Amen. There's a slogan, Brother Rick Jr.'s not here tonight, but there's a slogan in the Marines. The few, you know what the next word is, don't you? The proud. The Marines. I think Marines have a right. They're a dignified group. Even the Army will admit that. Even the Navy may admit that. Even the Air Force will admit that. The point I'm saying is there is a dignity that is there, but we've got to be careful that we don't allow it to become pride. Pridefulness that causes us to look down our nose at everybody else. I'm a notch above everybody else. That mentality causes contention, he said. It causes contention. Amen. When we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, then we think the slights and wrongs done to us are overinflated as well. If you have an inflated ego, then the little slights are overinflated as well. Amen. We think they've done us a great wrong when really it's just a small thing. Easy becomes an evil imagination that puts flies in the ointment of everything we do if left unattended. Now the final phrase of this proverb, verse number 10, starts off, only by pride comes contention. Here's the flip side of that, but with the well-advised is wisdom. With the well-advised is wisdom. The well-advised here, most commentators read as considerate. Those that consider things. See, pride is an impulsive act. It's an impulse. Sometimes it's not good to move on impulse. I think most time it's better to be a little bit slower and deliberate. You've heard the saying, slow and steady wins the race. You don't believe that? Ask the tortoise. Beat the hare. And the old story, that's a proverbial story that has a lot of moral truth in it. Amen. That slow and steady wins the race. In other words, you'll get farther down the road and do better in life if you'll just consider things a little more instead of running off on impulse. Bragging about how great you are. Amen. And those kind of things. So they're talking about this idea of considerate. This is somebody that does not think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Rather, they think more fully and rationally about things as they go through life. Their wisdom allows them to put a bridle on their passions and their pride. Amen. To rein themselves in a little bit before I jump to a conclusion. Isn't it amazing? our media, we've heard story after story after story. Most recently, I guess one of the things, how the media jumped on the Jesse Smollett story. And I mean, just took it, oh boy, they just knew he was right. How they jumped on the Rittenhouse case. Oh, they just knew that was a racist issue. Didn't have a thing, Jesse Smollett's case didn't have a thing to do with hate crime unless, I think somebody said the president said that was a reverse hate crime, and I think that's right. The Rittenhouse case was not a racial case. They jumped on that about the kid, the Covington, was that right? The Covington kid, is that the right kid that was in Washington DC and they come, a guy got in his face and they're talking about how he's smirking and all that kind of stuff. They jump on board and here's what happens. They send out all these tweets and they send out, even our president has made some statements like that. And even our former president, sometimes they jump out at things their pride thinks they know when they don't know. And they make a statement that later they find out was wrong. They'd have been a lot better off if it took a little bit more time. And honestly say, we don't have in all the facts, but here's what we do know. I think that's one of the problems with this 24/7 news media. Everybody wants to have the scoop. The scoop. Amen. Everybody wants to be able to get ahead on things. And run with more information than they actually know. So this wisdom allows them to put a bridle on their passions and pride. Slow down a little bit. Look at things a little bit better. And by the way, their wisdom causes them to shun disputes and quarrels. They don't get all excited about debating somebody. Boy, I'd love to get in a debate with him and show him how smart I am. No, you might show something different. Yeah. Not so quick to get in those divisions and those divides and those disputes. I believe here these people that walk in wisdom, the well-advised he's talking about here, attempt every possible means of avoiding conflict and arguments. Rather than living a life full of contentions and controversies, that's what the first part talking about, that pride that caused those contentions and controversies, their wisdom allows them to live peaceably as much as is possible with all men. By the way, which is what our Lord advised for Christians to try to do. Amen. Some people thrive on controversy. You remember a man, I remember a man put out a prayer card. I saw the prayer card stapled to a wall. America's most controversial evangelist. I remember what my dad said about that. My dad said, yeah, Phil Donahue was pretty controversial, but he is an idiot. I said Donahue, didn't I? I didn't say another name, did I? Did I say it right? Okay. I thought I might have said the other name that I was thinking about. That the most, listen, if you're just known for a troublemaker, how much good are you doing? It don't take a lot of wisdom just to be America's most controversial. Amen. What are you supposed to be trying to do? As much as is possible, live peaceable with all men. Now that doesn't mean you should shun when troubles come. Amen. There's times you've got to take the bull by the horn. But you don't have to run the bull down in the pasture to get a hold of his horns. Amen. All right, I ain't got time to deal with it. I'm getting carried away. Verse number 11. Let's look at verse number 11. I'll try not to take so much time. Verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. It's talking about wealth gotten by improper means here. Wealth gotten by vanity. That vanity by improper means. These acquisitions, though initially numerous, they start out being a lot here. He says they shall be diminished. They'll lose their value. They'll lose their esteem. If you, and by the way, this get rich quick schemes, that's involved in a lot of that. If you gain possessions by violating the rights of others, if you gain possessions by violating proper principles of equity, honor, and good faith, you're going to lose what you got. You're going to lose in the end. Matter of fact, you're going to be under the judgment of God. You're going to be under the condemnation of God. He's talking here about unlawful or improper acquirement. And it's contrasted with that which is gathered by the labor of hands. You see that in that same verse? That wealth is gotten by vanity. That's dealing with wealth that's gotten in improper means. And it's going to diminish, but it is contrasted with that that is gotten by labor. In other words, God blesses hard work. Amen. God blesses hard work. You'd be surprised. You kids that are in school, you'd be surprised how much better you could do if you just work hard at it. Study hard. Amen. If you just put your mind to work, you'd be surprised at how much farther down the road you could get. My dad tell me about, he teaches in that Bible college down in Dodge City, and they, maybe some of them listening tonight, they do listen by way of internet at times. But he's told me last year and then this year again, they had students, young men training Bible knowledge. They're going to one day be pastors. They're preaching already. By the way, they're not learning to preach, but they're learning to better study God's word and get their feet under them and be stable and be able to be used in pastoring. Amen. But how that they turn in a test with, or not just a test, but maybe a term paper with half the work done. When they had all the time. They turn it in incomplete. Well, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get an incomplete grade. It's going to happen. Well, this getting these things by wrong is going to go away, but God blesses hard work. I'm talking about school. God blesses that in the physical field. He blesses hard work. Amen. He really does. Honest industry is what he's talking about here. God will sanction that. Well, we need to, that used to be America. Listen, used to be if something said made in China, it meant junk. Amen. If it said made in Japan, I'm sorry, brother, it meant junk. Amen. I know they have. And you know, and one of the things they did, they stole some of our technology, but also they have worked hard at what they're doing. When America got soft, and America quit working hard, we thought we could ride on the coattails. Amen. That's really the truth. Amen. So God blesses honest industry. So either way you look at this proverb, you place the emphasis here on that word by vanity. You think about this, gains by vanity. Think about this. No matter how much wealth a person acquires, when that causes them to be lifted up in pride, if you tie this to the previous verse, talking about contention coming by pride, that vanity, that has the idea of pride. Maybe they've done well in business and they get proud of it. Again, goes back to this thing about American made. We got proud that it's made in America. I told somebody the other day, you see all these businesses with the help wanted ads and businesses that are shutting down early because they can't get workers. And I said, I've heard for years people talking about other people do jobs that American people won't do. I'm starting to wonder what jobs will American people do. Amen. God honors honest hard labor. But when you let that labor make you pride, what's going to happen? Your wealth is going to be diminished in estimation. Amen. We see it in our world. Somebody makes good money, all of a sudden it goes to their head. They're happy with that good money for a while. They get a good job. Oh boy, I got a raise on my job, or I took a new job that's making more money and all. I mean, boy, they're so happy, but 6 months down the road, they're wanting another raise. Yeah. 6 months down the road, they're not happy. Oh, yeah, I tell you, I found out that somebody else is paying somebody else more, or I think I deserve more. They're wanting me to actually work for the money they're paying me. Surprise, surprise. Amen. Well, they're happy for a time, but they get used to the opulence. They get used to spending. And you know, your bills usually are regulated by your income. Now, sometimes bills can get above the income. But when you get more income, generally, you get more bills too. Amen. That's right. I don't remember when was the last time at one of these low-income apartments that I saw a yacht parked out in the parking lot. They don't buy them. because they can't afford them. But you go to the coast and you see big ships that somebody is shelling out some big money for. You know why? Because they're proud of what they got. At one time, they was happy. One time, they was happy with just a little John boat, brother. Amen. One time, they was happy with, well, you know, whatever. That, but all of a sudden, they got a little bit more money and they want more. That vanity gets them built up. I ought to be able to have the finest and the nicest. Amen. We was talking about that after Sunday school. Or after church today. Everybody wants what's new. I mean, it gets this, you know, I ain't interested in what was last year. I don't. Who wants the flu now that you can have COVID? Flu lost all of its glamour. Amen. You can't even give somebody the flu no more. Amen. Well, here he's talking about the labor. God honors labor. God honors labor. God help us to gather our goods by hard work. Recognize the value of hard work. Amen. Relish the increase. You know, by the way, when you worked hard for something, you're happy that you got it. When I turned 16, I got my driver's license. I got my driver's permit back in those days. That was back when we still used horse and buggy, but, when I turned 16, I got my permit, and 1 week later, I got my driver's license. They didn't have these different stages of things that you had to do, but I got my driver's license, but I didn't have a car. Dad told me and my brother both, he said, I am not buying you boys a car. He said, if I pay for it, you won't know what it's worth. But if you have to work it out and you pay for it, you don't know what it's worth. Now, he said, I'll stand good on a loan, I'll help you. Right? I'll help you get your credit. I'll help you get what you want. But he said, you're going to have to buy something reasonable and you're going to have to pay for it. Amen. And I saw friends in school that their family gave them those vehicles and they didn't see the value of it. But when you work hard for it, amen, when you got to pick up beer cans or aluminum cans, I'll just say it that way. You got to pick up aluminum cans and you got to bring in the bottles and you got to steal hubcaps in order to get gasoline. I'm kidding about the stealing hubcaps. When you got to work for it, you find out it's worth something. When you get blisters on your hand, amen. When your bones ache and all that business, you know what it's worth. That's what he's talking about in this verse. Amen. You'll relish what you got. Amen. Verse number 12, I'm moving on. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I think this does have some connotation. It carries over with it. When you have looked long and hard in expectation for something, talking about laboring for something, you've looked for it, you've longed for it, you've expected some good thing to come, and yet it is delayed, especially when it's delayed for a long time. That's that word deferred means pushed on down the road, then the heart can grow sick. The heart can lose some hope. That's true if you're missing a loved one. That's true of being homesick, if you've ever been homesick. When am I going to get to go home? That's true when you're seeking the salvation of a family member that's unrepentant. You've prayed and prayed and hoped and hoped. Maybe like the prodigal son's dad, you've looked out down that road and you've not seen him coming home yet. Sometimes it can make the heart sick. How should we deal with this heart sickness? Well, I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to go to God for help. God's the mender of broken hearts. Amen. God's the one that can help with that. This heart sickness that he's talking about here, it's caused by the delay or the deferment. It's talking about when hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When you've longed for that hope and your heart's gotten sick with it, that is contrasted. There's a colon there. And then he says, but when the desire cometh, when you finally do see what looks like that boy you've been looking for so long, when you finally do see home again, when you finally do see the answer to the prayer you've been praying, how happy you are, how much joy there is. That's what he's talking about. There's joy. Amen. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Amen. Amen. There, it's a tree of life. There's a blessing that comes. There's a thriving that comes. There's joy, peace, and blessedness that comes. Amen. When God brought that prodigal home, all those prayers, all those tears, all those sorrows were quickly repaid. Amen. And that's what I look for. Amen. When a loved one repents and comes and trusts Christ, all those prayers and tears and waiting is quickly repaid. Amen. When hope fades, now here's the principle of this proverb. Don't lose hope. Because when hope fades, it makes the heart sick. By the way, out of the heart is the issues of life. Your life drains out of you. That's what he's talking about there. It's disheartening when hope fades. But when our prayers come to fruition, when we see the reward there, then our spirit is revived. This phrase, it is a tree of life. You see that in the last part of that verse. It is a tree of life. Illustrates the fruitfulness and the productivity of waiting on God. You've waited on God. It's not been fruitless. It's been fruitful. Amen. You've waited on God. You poured out your heart to God. You've trusted God. Listen, the devil says you're wasting your time praying. Somebody said this down at Faith Baptist Camp. I wish I could remember who it was said it. I said this to them in the prayer room the other day. Somebody made this statement. The devil comes and says, what you're doing is useless. You might as well quit. This man said, I was glad for the day I realized if what I'm doing ain't working, why do you want me to quit? If there's no hope, if my praying is useless, why does the devil fight me about praying? Amen. If my hope for my loved one is useless, why does the devil fight me for my hope? I'm going to tell you why. Because he knows it's not fruitless. It's a tree of life. Amen. Faith and prayer are fruitful. It's not wasted time. It's fruitful time spent with God. Amen. Boy, I could preach on that all night. Verse 13, who despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Whoso despiseth the word. There, talking about the man that hates the commandment of God. He's got the word and he's got the commandment. That's referencing the word of God. That's referencing the Bible. Those who despise God's word despise his authority. Amen. Again, something we touched on in the prayer room. I'll say it here because it's right. When men or women start twisting the word of God, they're saying you're misinterpreting the Bible. You're wrong about that. The Bible is not judgmental. The Bible is not calling them wrong. You know why they're saying that? They don't want to be wrong. They don't want you to say what they're doing. They don't want anybody to say what they're doing is wrong. And so they're justifying themselves, thus they'll justify everybody else. When the Bible is right, let every man be a liar if he has to be. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. But to despise God's word is to despise his authority. To reject God's authority is bound to reap destruction. But to properly reverence God's authority shall be rewarded. That's what he's talking about in that last phrase. He that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Now this is true on other fronts other than just talking about the word of God. It's also true talking about the word of your parents. If you despise the word or the commandment of your parents, you're going to find yourself being punished. Yeah. Whereas if you'll show proper respect to the word of your parents, you'll be rewarded. Amen. You despise the word or the commandment of the government, you're going to be punished. But if you'll show proper respect to the word of the government, you'll be rewarded. If you despise the word or the commandment of your employer, you'll be punished. All that is right there in that verse. But if you'll observe and show honor to the word of the boss man, you'll be rewarded. Amen. Now, notice that this proverb, verse number 13, doesn't simply say that this rebellious person will hurt or will diminish in some way. It says, shall be destroyed. You see that phrase? Whoso despiseth the word shall have a little hurt, shall have his wrist slapped. No. He said, shall be destroyed. In other words, he's saying this is serious business. This is not a slight thing. When you rebel against God's word, destruction is coming. It's dogmatic and it's emphatic. We need to get back to that. Amen. It is powerfully strong language. Listen, we would do well to remember that our God is a God of love and grace, but he's also a holy God. Amen. And his love and his grace should not be presumed upon. Amen. Don't trample upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't trample upon the grace of God. God's holiness is not to be trifled with. Amen. God may give many warnings. The stiff neck, after those many warnings, invites the judgment of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, listen. I don't want anybody to think that my dad was an abuser. Now, dad whipped us, and matter of fact, whipped us to the point that today society probably would call it abuse. But I don't think it was. Amen. But I had enough, I guess I could say this, I had enough sense, if that's the right word, I lived. I had enough sense that when dad got angry at me, I didn't bow up to him. My dad tells a story about how he did his dad one time. I mentioned the other day, my dad, when my dad was in eighth grade, he's 6'3". Dad's about 6'2", or maybe 1.5 now. He's shrunk. But he was a big boy when he was a boy. Dad was, I believe he was 15. He got married when he was 16. I was born when he was 17. So I think dad said that he was either 14 or 15 years old. And they were putting up a fence along a creek. And there's a place where there's a bridge that crossed the creek. And they're putting up an electric fence, by the way, with those porcelain knobs and the hammer. And so there's leaning over that dad's on his knees and the bridge, and they're trying to make that fence go along the bridge. And so he's driving that in, and he missed and hit his hand, and the porcelain knob fell in the water. Dad got mad and let out a few words he shouldn't have, and took the hammer and threw the hammer in the water. And dad said, Grandpa said, boy, get down there and pick that hammer up. Dad said, and by the way, Grandpa said, boy, get down there and pick that hammer up and put that knob on. Dad said, if you want that hammer, you get it yourself. And Dad said, when he said that, Grandpa's right arm come around just like that. Dad said, he thought, I'm a man. Dad's 6'3", but his dad's 6'5". That right arm come along, Dad said, he stopped it. He thought, boy, I'm something. Grandpa took his left arm and just knocked that off right in the water. Dad said, while he's down there, he picked up the hammer and nailed that knob on. Amen. Now, if you bow up against that, you know what you're asking for? More trouble. If pride causes you to rear up, it's going to cause more contention. That's what he's dealing with here. Amen. So the idea that he's talking about here is that you rear up against God. You rear up against God. You're just asking for more trouble. Powerful, strong language. The stiff neck, this is the phrase they use there. The stiff neck invites destruction. Amen. Moses, who loved, obeyed, and reverenced God, got to see God's glory. But the Israelites who disobeyed, disrespected, dishonored God, heard his thunder. You think about that. Moses, who loved God and obeyed God, got to see his glory. But the other Israelites who disobeyed God, disrespected God, heard his thunder. And it caused them to fear. Amen. Now we all fail at times. I recognize that. But there's a difference in failing God and actually despising the word. That's what he's talking about here. He that feareth the commandment might not be able to keep every jot and tittle of it because of the frailty of his flesh. But he loves God's word. He reveres God's word. And he recognizes God's right even when I'm wrong. And he gives God the glory. He longs to please the Father. Amen. I put this note here. This crowd that twists God's word to make it say whatever they want it to say, rather than bowing their will to the commandment, is guilty of despising the word. That's right. When they take the plain teachings of the Bible, like the sanctity of marriage vows, like the abomination of cross-dressing, or the abomination of sodomy, or the denouncement of drinking alcohol. I preached on that this past, was it Wednesday night, I think. They turn that on its head to make it actually approve of what it disapproves of. And they make it seem that it approves what it actually renounces. What they've, and by the way, they do that so they can do what they want to do. They are guilty of despising the Word of God. Here's an illustration. I'm almost done with this verse. And we'll move on. We're working our way down through these. This verse is halfway mark. Esau was said to have despised the birthright. You remember that? What did Esau do to prove he despised his birthright? He sold it for a bowl of beans. For just a bowl of pottage. He despised his birthright when he sold it for something of little value. These people, I believe, despise the Word of God when they sell it for adultery, or they sell it for sodomy, or they sell it for alcohol. They despise the Word of God because they love their sin. Verse number 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Amen. This proverb, without a doubt, connects to the previous one, verse 13. It denotes the wise that walk after the law. He's talking about the law of the wise. They walk according to the law. That wise man reveres the Word of God. He doesn't despise the Word of God like the one previously talked about. He is rewarded with a blessed life, and he's steered away from the snares of death. But the ways of the wicked are along the snares of death. I believe that the Holy Bible could well be called the law of the wise. Amen. It's a fact that those are truly wise that believe and follow the Word of God. Amen. When they're conscientious about the precepts and the injunctions of the Bible. The Bible is a fountain of life. That's what it's called there in verse number 14. It's a fountain of life. It's the law of the wise and a fountain of life with streams that give out life preserving and life giving streams. Amen. But when you disbelieve the Bible, when you despise the Bible, you're entangled with the snares of death. You're in a trap. That's what he's talking about. You're in a trap. You've fallen for the snare of the devil. Disobedience to God and his word equals death. Amen. He calls this the snares of death. Obedience to God's word equals life. It's a tree of life. It's a fountain of life. Amen. So God gives us an offer. Here's our choice. You want the fountain of life or do you want the snares of death? That's what the book of Proverbs is laying out. Solomon laying that out for his son. We have the choice. Are we going to follow the one that's seeking whom he may devour? Or are we going to follow the one that's seeking to save that which is lost? Amen. Which one are we going to follow? That fountain of life, and by the way, it's eternal life. Or those snares of death, which, by the way, are eternal death. Look at verse number 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Another well-known verse that I don't think takes a lot of explanation. I believe this verse, verse 15, fits in the same vein as verse 13 and 14. They go together, these previous verses and this verse. Speaking about the benefits of understanding what the will of the Lord is, obeying his voice, loving his word, obtaining favor from God. Amen. It's contrasted with the way of transgressors. You know what transgressors do? They despise the word. Transgressors bring hardship upon themselves. He said the way of the transgressor is hard. They bring those hardships upon themselves because of their rebellion. Amen. Now, verse number 14 might properly be talking about eternal benefits. I said life there, I believe, equals eternal life, and death there, I believe, equals eternal death. Verse number 15 is talking about life. Good understanding giveth favor in this life. But the way of the transgressor is hard in this life. Not just eternity, I believe he's talking about here. Amen. It pays to live for God now, and it pays to live for God in eternity. Amen. Good understanding at verse number 15, I believe, is talking about wisdom that knows God's word and God's will. And then there's favor found in following the will of God. Amen. And that's not saying that we deserve salvation. It's talking about our obedience brings blessings. Amen. Amen. The way of transgressors is hard. It's talking about the blessings of God are not found in their way because they've been disobedient. God doesn't smile so much on the path. God is good to the wicked. Amen. God does let it rain on the just and the unjust. Thank God he does. But you can't say that the wicked have the blessings that God gives to those that serve him and love him. Amen. Verse number 16. I'm almost done. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Prudent man here is one that looks well to his ways. Doesn't act rashly or indiscreetly. He deliberates, he thinks, he considers which way he should go before he moves. Amen. Again, that's wise, that's wisdom. Pride causes you to impulsively move. Humility will cause you. Understanding, knowledge will cause you to deliberate a little bit. He deliberates which way he should go before he commits to moving, and he deliberates and considers how he ought to speak before he speaks. Amen. Boy, again, good wisdom there. Good wisdom. If the knowledge that this prudent man has deals with the same as the good understanding of verse number 15, I believe it does, then it's also the law of the wise from verse number 14. And it's also the commandment of the word that is feared and rewarded in verse number 13. So I'm saying verse 13, 14, 15, and 16 all come along to say that when you understand God's word, when you love God's word, when you delight in God's word, there's blessings that flow from it. But the opposite's also true. When you despise God's word, when you don't even consider God's word, when you go on your own pride and move in your own understanding, then you're a fool. That's what he says. Very abruptly, God calls this man a fool. But a fool layeth open his folly. Now, you may ask, how does a fool lay open his folly? Well, I say he does so by pouring out his wrath. That quick temper is not a sign of wisdom. It's a sign of foolishness. Most of us ought to say, oh me. Really? Most of us should. He's pouring out his wrath and his anger. You see it real quickly. Preacher was preaching down there at Faith Baptist Camp, and he's talking about a car overheating. And he said, because of your impatience, you're passing everybody on the road, and they know your car is overheating because they see the steam that's behind you. He said, when I talk to my wife just in the right way, I know when she's getting angry because I see the red coming up. He said, I know, whoop, 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 we better pull this thing over to the side and let it cool down. Amen. I can say more about that, but that's right. But here's what happens. Some people just pop off all of a sudden. There's no warning. You know why? Because there's no wisdom. They're quick about pouring out his wrath and anger. Here's another way a fool openly shows his ignorance, his folly, is he's bragging up his own praise. Amen. This crowd that says, you know, you're almost as good looking as I am. You're almost as smart as I am. You're almost as humble as I am. You're almost as good as I am. That's a fool. That's what it is. That's a fool. And you know how you know it? Just listen to him. He'll tell you. That's what this Bible's talking about here, really. He's pouring out his wrath and he's bragging on his own praise and he's spouting off his own big mouth. That tells you he's a fool. That's what he's saying there. A fool layeth open his folly. David Sorensen said this. I thought this was pretty good. David Sorensen says, wise men pause to consider, but fools boogie on. Pretty good way to end verse number 16. Look at verse number 17, last one. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Boy, this is a good one. I hope you can hang with me to finish this one. Here the wicked messenger is contrasted to the faithful ambassador. Here's the idea. We've been entrusted with a commission. We've been given a job. Somebody says, would you do this job? You do it well? That's good. You're a faithful ambassador. And people are happy. It's healthful. But when you're a wicked messenger, when you've been given a job or you've been given a commission and you're unfaithful, you're treacherously mischievous, that is wicked, the Bible says. Amen. If we betray trust of others when they've given us a job or they've given us a commission, if we betray their trust by acting differently than instructed, though we've been entrusted with their, we've been commissioned to carry out their job that they've asked us to do, the Bible says it's wicked. Amen. If your dad sends you to the store and says, get 5 pounds of taters and you come back with 5 pounds of candy, you've shown you can't be trusted. Right? And you could use a lot of different illustrations there. This wicked messenger here and his demise, he's talking about falling into mischief, is contrasted with a faithful ambassador and his beneficial success. He talks about him, that healthfulness is beneficial. Amen. So the one brings mischief upon his own head because the cause he's been entrusted with has been denied. The other brings success to himself and others because he's a faithful ambassador. Amen. Whoever sent him is blessed as well as he's blessed for a job well done. Amen. You use the illustration. I think about Brother Philip here. I'll use him for a moment. He sent out from, what's your business name? He sent out by Arctic Refrigeration to go do a job. If he does a good job, he's brought a good name to that business as well as to himself. Right? Every one of us, we have some way that is true in our life. And especially with God. By the way, God's given us a job to do. Brother Jacob touched on it this morning. There's people we can shine a light to that if we don't, they may wander in darkness till the day they're snuffed out. Are we being faithful ambassadors? Are we being faithful to the job God's caused us to do? You see these two, they're contrasted. One displeases and costs his sender. The other pleases and profits his sender. Amen. I believe we can use that to test our Christian witness. I've already alluded to that. Test our Christian witness. God has given us a holy calling. That we've received, we ought to freely give. Isn't that what Jesus said to his disciples? We've heard the truth, we ought to be dispensing the truth. Amen. We have the truth, we ought to be dispensing the truth. In other words, we ought to deliver the message faithfully. If we fail to do that, we displease our Lord. We dishonor his cause. We dishonor our calling. And we fail to help those we were sent to bear the message to. Y'all heard it on the news. I believe it was in Alabama. They found a ravine full of Amazon packages. I think some man finally admitted to the fact that he just dumped them. Rather than taking the time to deliver them. I don't know what he's doing. I'm sure he's getting paid to deliver them. And he just dumped them. Like nobody'd ever check. Like his sin would never find him out. And it always does, by the way. It always does. But I wonder, we've been given the gospel message. Are we dumping it in a ravine and going our way? Or are we actually delivering the package like God wants us to? Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I'll end with that tonight. What kind of an ambassador are we? What kind of representative of the truth are we? Are we representing God like we will wish we'd had on the day of judgment? Or are we like we will wish we have when the person we're supposed to witness to draws their last breath? We face them. By the way, we'll face them again in judgment. I really do believe that. We'll face them again in judgment. There's a song that talks. It says, you never mentioned him to me. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned him to me. What is our job? Why has he left us here? Well, to glorify God. One of the ways we do that is by being a bright and shining light. Amen. I'm not just talking about increasing numbers. I'm talking about honestly obeying the Lord. Shining a light for Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, help us to deal with our own pride issues. Only by pride cometh contention. Help us, Lord, to get involved in hard work. Be willing to work hard for our Lord and willing to work hard for our advancement. We'll relish it when the advancement comes. Help us, Lord, not to despair of hope, but to keep believing, keep praying, keep trusting. Keep trusting, dear God, that you're going to bring that to pass that we're praying for. Lord, help us be a faithful ambassador. Not to despise the Word of God, not to shirk our duty, not to dishonor our calling or our Lord, but to honor you and be successful in the end to bring you glory. To hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Lord, help us to hear that one day. Help us to work for that. Strive for that today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Psalms prayer. If you need to come pray, I want to give you that opportunity to do so as we sing.
155.
155. If the Lord spoke to you, would you come and obey the Lord?